Ted Hoffman, are you out there?
I am.
Okay, come on up.
Well, I'm Ted, and I'm talking, so this must be a TED Talk. Before I start, I want you to think about a couple of things, and it relates to our topic tonight, to our theme. How long does it take before you feel someone is your friend? A lifetime? A year? A month? How about a couple minutes? And secondly, what is it that makes someone your friend as opposed to just an acquaintance? Is it because you like them? In most cases, that's probably true. But do you share something with that person? Is there something special about that person that makes them your friend? Perhaps it's a secret that you share with them. I call my talk, it was a story now because it's a TED Talk, it's a talk. I call my talk, What's in a Name? Subtitled, The Friend I Never Knew. What is in a name? Well, you know, for my family, a lot. Because for five generations now, every firstborn male child in my family has been named Edward John Hoffman. But almost from birth, in fact, some would argue from conception, that child is known as Teddy Hoffman. And they stay Teddy Hoffman, or we stay Teddy Hoffman, until our father passes away, at what point we become Ted Hoffman. Now you can be, that's not a joke, that's true. Now you can be Ted Hoffman to the outside world. So for example, my son on his Facebook page says Ted Hoffman, but to the family, he's Teddy Hoffman until I leave stage right. And no matter how much he thinks of it, he will be Teddy Hoffman until that point. Now, he recently had us over. He had both friends and family over for Thanksgiving. And he signed the invitation, Ted, paren, D-D-Y, close paren. So he made sure he covered all the bases. Now, to tell you the rest of my story, I have to take you back, and I know some of you kicking and screaming, but I've got to take you back to 1958, and I've got to take you back to my hometown of Shamokin, Pennsylvania. Now, Shamokin, Pennsylvania in 1958, as it is now, is in the hard coal regions, or anthracite region, coal regions of Pennsylvania, south of Scranton and north of Harrisburg. In 1958, it had about 10,000 people, about what we have in Ivins now. Principal industries, coal mining, not surprisingly, and textile manufacturing. It had every single fraternal organization that existed in the United States at the time. The two most popular, the Moose and the Elks. Why? Because they had four-lane bowling alleys in their basement. I was a pin boy, by the way. Equally popular was the local volunteer fire company. I know those of you from Utah are saying, volunteer fire company? Yes, we had dozens of volunteer fire companies in Shamokin in 1958 because on the second floor of the volunteer fire company, there was a bar. And in order to get and use the bar, you had to be a volunteer fireman. Now, I venture to say that 98% of the volunteer firemen in Shamokin never knew there was a fire truck parked below them on the first floor. By far, however, the most outstanding feature of Shamokin in 1958, as it is now, was its comb bank. Comb, spelled C-U-L-M, is the residue of mining, like it is here in Utah. But in Pennsylvania, in Shamokin, it's made up of rock and coal and black coal. coal dust, much like the Red Mountain dust that we have here in Kayenta. And much like the Red Mountain dust we have in Kayenta, when the wind blew, the black coal dust got in your house. Now, the mine, or the coal bank, because coal had been mined in and around Shamokin much before it was ever founded as a city, grew and grew till the coal bank was literally the size of our Red Mountain here in Kayenta. And so every morning, just like you wake up now and you look out your window and you see your Red Mountain and you get inspired, we would wake up, look out our Red Mountain, and get depressed. Now, it came to pass, I love that phrase, it came to pass that there were actually two Teddy Hoffmans in Shamokin in 1958. I was 10 years old, by the way. Myself and an adult who was named Teddy Hoffman. The other Teddy Hoffman, as I'll call him, had three distinguishing characteristics. One, he lived in an apartment inside the James Madison Hotel, the only hotel in town. Now, you know, no one except the other Teddy Hoffman lived in an apartment. Secondly, Teddy was, it was his occupation. He was an interior decorator. Now, we kids had no idea what an interior decorator was, but we were sure it had nothing to do with working in the coal mines. And finally, and most importantly for my story, Teddy was different. And that's the way he was referred to. Oh, you know Teddy Hoffman? He's different, you know. Now, of course, today we would say Teddy Hoffman was gay. But in 1958 in Shamokin, he was simply different. And because Teddy Hoffman was different, and because he and I shared the same name, my friends, my associates, my colleagues would kid me. And that's the word. Now we would say I was harangued, but in those days, they would kid me unmercifully over the fact that I shared the same name with the other Teddy Hoffman, who was different. And because of that, one day, finally, I came home to my mother, and I was in tears. And I begged her to allow me to change my name to anything but Teddy Hoffman. At that point, I hated the other Teddy Hoffman, even though, of course, I had never met him. My mother was a saint, but again, this is Shamokin. It's 1958, you know? She said, listen, your name is Teddy Hoffman. It'll be Teddy Hoffman until your father dies, and then you'll be Ted Hoffman. Eat your lunch. And it was like, okay. You know, no Supreme Court appeal, that's it. So, the old saying, time heals all wounds. Time does heal all wounds. And as the months and the years went on, the kidding, the bullying is really today's word, the bullying finally stopped. And quite frankly, I forgot about the other Teddy Hoffman until I was attending a function at the Odd Fellows reception hall in Shamokin. Incidentally, as an aside, isn't that a great name for a group, for a fraternal organization? The Odd Fellows. Like, hi, I'm Ted Hoffman. I'm an Odd Fellow. But anyhow, I'm attending this function at the Odd Fellows reception hall, and I'm talking to somebody, and someone comes up and puts their hand on my shoulder and kind of whips me around and says, Teddy Hoffman, meet Teddy Hoffman. And there, standing before me, was not Quasimodo, because by the way, that's what I thought Teddy Hoffman had to look like, right? This evil person. There was the handsomest man I have ever seen outside the picture shows. And he was by far the best dressed man I had ever seen outside the picture shows. And we began to talk, and we talked for about 10 or 15 minutes. And he asked me about school. And he asked me about what sports I played. And then he left. And I never saw him again. And I'm sure you're wondering, did that have a profound effect on my life? And of course, at the time, I would have said, absolutely not. But you know, that was 60 years ago, and I can remember it as if it happened yesterday. And to this day, I feel really bad that I didn't give this wonderful man the respect and that he deserved. And in any event, from that point on, I was more than happy to share Shamokin, Colm Bank and all, with my friend, Teddy Hoffman. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.